Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Wednesday. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. If you're a Brewers fan, it's been a good afternoon. Another comeback for the Brew Crew, standing at 5-1 after the first six games of the season. You love to see it. League meetings have come and gone. No real Packers headlines today. No news driving stuff happening there at 1265 Lombardi. As we settle in for the final stretch here before the draft, the NFL draft occurring April 23rd, we'll have tons of content here at Cheesehead TV throughout the month. Most importantly, including the release of the Cheesehead TV draft guide tomorrow. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the 2026 Pro Football Draft Guide brought to you by Cheesehead TV, available tomorrow, Thursday, April 2nd. On the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. You do not need to be a paying Cheesehead TV Patreon member, but you will need to set up a Patreon account to purchase and download the guide. Do so today so you're ready tomorrow to purchase the Cheesehead TV 2026 Pro Football Draft Guide. Hundreds of pages of great draft content, mock drafts, featured articles, tons of prospect breakdowns. Great stuff from Jersey Al and company, including Newt Weston, who has been doing great work here on the YouTube channel for Cheesehead TV, breaking down all manner of stuff for the NFL draft. I had a great conversation with Newt this afternoon. That conversation is up here on the YouTube channel. Highly recommend you check that out. It's also available as a podcast on the Packers Daily podcast feed. If you're out and about and you want to listen, you can do so there. Really good stuff. Newt really knows his stuff. And I'm starting to dip my toe into the draft here as we do approach this final stretch. So highly recommend you check that out, and do very much so recommend that you check out the Cheesehead TV draft guide tomorrow. Like I said, each and every year I am blown away at the content, the quality of the content. It is excellent. Do not miss it. Make sure you get it tomorrow, available on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. Today I did want to touch on the Green Bay Packers' expectations heading into 2026. We've heard from now Matt LaFleur once again after a long time away from the microphones after the end of the season. Now he has got his contract extension in hand, as does Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball. And it is time for this team to hunker down and win a championship. Yes. And how do they go about doing that? The number one goal has to be winning the division, has to be taking back the NFC North. It's been too long. Each of the other three teams in the division now have won it since the Packers last did so. And look, it's not to say that winning the division is an automatic entry to the Super Bowl. I mean, none of these teams that have won it have won the North the last three or four seasons have participated in Super Bowls. Hell, the last time the Packers won the division, they lost a divisional playoff game in Lambeau to the 49ers. So it is not like that is the automatic key. We all know the Packers' last championship went on the road three playoff games because they were a wild card team. But this is a team that has now been past tense, the youngest team in the NFL the last three seasons. The last three seasons, they have eked into the playoffs as the seventh seed. Obviously, the last two seasons in particular are very disappointing, losing both wild card playoff games. They're not even advancing one game into the playoffs. This is a team that now sets its sights on not only winning the division, but winning a championship and getting playoff football back to Lambeau Field. There are no excuses. There's no reason the Packers shouldn't do this. They have the quarterback. They have the offense. They have a new defense that should have enough pieces and enough talent to do anything Matt LaFleur and Jonathan Gannon want it to do. There is zero doubt that this is a team that should win the NFC North. Now, can injuries strike? Can bounces go a certain way and things maybe don't quite reach the level you expect them to? Yes, we've seen that year in and year out throughout the NFL, not just in Green Bay. But sitting here in early April of 2026, looking at the Green Bay Packers as they get ready for another campaign to try and go bring a title back to Titletown, the first number one goal is to win the division, to bring back a modicum of order to the NFC North. Because let's be fair, the Bears, as NFC North champs, they didn't even have a winning record in the division last year, for God's sake. So The little brother had his moment. That's great. He jumped up and won the division for the first time in a while, and that's adorable. But now it's time to get back to the order of things, which is the Green Bay Packers on top in the NFC North. That is goal number one in 2026 for Matt LaFleur and company. And look, I think, like I said, they've got the talent to do it. I think certainly they took a really good step last year when it came to their division foes, something that really gave them problems in 2024. They certainly seem to be turning that around. Clearly need to close the door on Chicago when they have the opportunity to do so. But outside of that, they've got a really good chance to run the division again. So let's get back to that is what I'm saying. Hello, everybody in the comments section. Joe, Dennis, how are y'all doing? Good to see everybody. Jerry's here, of course. Before I get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into every game. That's why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts everything into yours. They're proud to support the community and Cheesehead TV. Stay game day ready with nationally recognized heart care close to home. Choose ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your minds? How we doing? Evil Badger starting us off. Lions versus Packers in Munich or Packers versus blank in France more likely? Well, the Packers in France would be against the Saints. Now, there had been a report during the Super Bowl that that was going to be Saints versus Browns. Now, there has not been any official word from the league on that. The NFL has not chimed in, but that was the reporting back during the Super Bowl week. We'll see if that does transpire. But yes, the Packers could potentially still face the Saints in Paris, which would be absolutely insane and awesome. And I would be there with bells on. But I do think that that is going to be Browns versus Saints. But yes, Lions versus Packers in Munich, very realistic and absolute possibility, especially when you consider the fact that the 49ers and the Rams are going to Australia to play a division game. If they can go to Australia for a division game, the Packers can certainly go to Munich for a division game. And I love the idea of not having to go to Detroit. And the Packers' passion in Germany is unrivaled. It will be incredible if the Packers play in Germany. The vibe will be absolutely off the charts. I cannot wait. If that is the case, that is going to be outstanding. But try not to get too excited. I got all excited about the possibility of the Packers playing in Dublin, and then that didn't happen. So trying to hold it in here, trying to see what happens, trying to let it play out. A lot of ball game left, as somebody once said. E4, how you doing, brother? FYI for Matt LaFleur, when you win a Super Bowl, you can break up the monotonous offseason by viewing Super Bowl highlights. Just saying. I mean, you can, right? It's no doubt that you can, you know, sit back and watch the highlights of the game you won. It's a good time. I did like Matt's quote at the owners' meetings at the breakfast when he said, you know, you're always striving and you're never satisfied and you're always unhappy when you're not holding that Lombardi. And then when you do win the Lombardi, you want to go do it again, undoubtedly. So it's not like, you know, anyone's ever resting on their laurels just watching their Super Bowl highlights. I'm sure the Seahawks are hard at work getting ready for another campaign. But yeah, watching Super Bowl highlights of the game you won, I got to imagine it doesn't suck. Jerry, how are you, sir? It was a blessing to be a contributor for the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. Thank you so much for the opportunity to all. Al is the best. Thank you for the help. Thank you for the work. And yes, Al is the best, as I always say. Greatest piece of content we release each and every year, mostly because I am not involved. Al is a taskmaster, but firm but fair, and gets the best out of everyone. No question about it. Neil Flynn, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. One expectation this year should be to make Ben Johnson cry. Yeah, it did kind of look like he was on the verge a couple times there in the first half of that playoff game, but they did come back and he got his moment and said, fuck the Packers. So now it's fuck Ben Johnson forever in perpetuity. And I do hope the Packers beat them twice and do so handedly. And maybe a tear gets shed. I'm all for this idea. I think that is a realistic goal and one the Packers should definitely shoot for. Joe Mailman, how are you, buddy? We won't see another 7-seed playoff season. Things will either get better or they'll be a Super Bowl contender or it'll be like 2018 and Matt LaFleur will be gone. Man, yeah, you know, I know Abdul was here the other day, as he is wont to do, casting negative lights on things and, you know, asking, if they do miss the playoffs, is Matt gone? And I do think some of it is going to be how they're playing, what are the circumstances around it. I mean, Ed Policy himself this week said, this is a significant commitment, this being the contract extension he just gave to LaFleur. This is a vote of confidence, if you will, a idea that this is our coach, come hell or high water. And I got to take Policy at his word, because God knows it would have been real easy for him to justify firing LaFleur after that playoff meltdown against the Bears. Yet he didn't. Said that his mind had already been made up prior to that game, and he was not coaching for his job down there in Chicago. So I got to think, when he says, I'm committed to Matt LaFleur, he means it. So, again, unless there's some kind of hellacious dereliction of duty, like, and I'm talking like they find out Matt LaFleur is embezzling funds from the rainy day fund there at Lambeau, I can't imagine that, quote, missing the playoffs would be cause to, in their eyes, to fire him. Well, crazier shit has happened. We shall see. Spike McCarthy, what's going on, man? Love to Golden is what I'm looking forward to in 2026. Now we're cooking. Now we are cooking. Yeah, no doubt. You love the playmaking ability there. You saw them just a tick off throughout much of the season in 2025. Obviously, the big touchdown play in the playoff game is a hopeful harbinger of things to come. But yeah, you got to think they'll find their stride. Because that's what's weird, is that they didn't seem to have too many issues during training camp. They connected with almost effortless ease throughout the summer. So hopefully, yeah, get a few more games under their belt together and reading things the same way when it comes to pre-snap, post-snap, and what they're expected to do route-wise and where Love expects him to be, etc. You got to think they're gonna find that groove, so to speak, and start hitting some big plays. Again, they came close a couple of times, and they did hit on a few, precious few there in 2025. But I do think you're going to see a pretty significant uptick in that regard in 2026. What else we got here, folks? Menace says, well, being 1-11 in December and January the last 2 years certainly doesn't cause one's heart to jump with confidence. Very true, Menace. Although I would say there's some context there last season. 2 years ago, that was disheartening. That was disconcerting. Last year, I think there's some context there that I'm sure you're aware of, but you don't want to give it credence because there are no excuses. This is title tone. Like, I get it. I understand. But last year doesn't bother me as much. 2024, the way that kind of played out in December, yeah, that bothers me. Although, I'll flip it around and say, what is LaFleur's record overall in December and into January? And I understand he hasn't had the success in playoff games that we'd like, especially recently. But up until 2024, his teams have been lights out in December. So, again, staying the course, looking at the totality of the work. I mean, I remember when the Steelers were given holy hell because they kept Cowher around after a couple of losing seasons. Imagine losing seasons and you keep the coach in this day and age. Packers fans in particular would absolutely lose their mind. But they kept Cowher through a couple of losing seasons. And they went on and won the Super Bowl. You know, I'm just saying, like, I understand he's had a bit of a downturn here in December, but it ain't like his teams haven't traditionally cooked in December, right? Just so we got all the stuff out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Oh, New York Cheesehead, can you imagine? Thanksgiving Day in Munich. Oh, my God. I don't think they'd give the Thanksgiving game to Germany or any overseas venue, but man, that would be fire. It would be incredible. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Really excited to see more Golden and Watson on the field at the same time this season. Another question, how good would JerMichael Finley have been if he would not have gotten hurt? Ugh. I mean, there are a litany of Packers that, unfortunately, we've lived through the woulda, coulda, shouldas if they had stayed healthy. You know, certainly JerMichael's one of them, without question. He would have been excellent. He would have been fantastic. He was a incredible talent. And I know there were, especially when, you know, Packers fans were in the throes of the games, the frustration sometimes was with the drops, and there were certainly a few, but man, his talent was undeniable. And he was an absolute demon when it came to taking on like pass rushers. He was a physical cat off the line of scrimmage. And I do think, you know, he stays healthy. Yeah, man, he would have absolutely broken Packers records for receiving stuff at tight ends. Like, no question about it. Yeah, just one of many, again, guys that we've unfortunately not been able to watch a full, healthy career for. Soder, how you doing, buddy? Full season of Reed and Watson changes everything. So long as Matt LaFleur just leans into throwing the damn ball. Just a little bit more. Just a tick. Just a few more on first down. That's all I ask. It's just a few more passes on first down. Best down to throw the football on, according to Bill Walsh, who kind of knew something about offensive football. That's just me. Yeah, let's not completely revert to Cro-Magnon man, 3 yards in a cloud of dust for the majority of the season. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be pretty okay. Pack Daddy, what's up, man? This not having a first-round pick is dragging me down. I hear you for the pageantry and fun of watching the draft on that Thursday night where it is only the first round and the anticipation of it. But don't forget, I mean, the Packers have gotten really good contributions and found really good players in rounds 2 through 7. You know, it's not like after the first round, there's nothing on offer. But I understand it is going to be a bit of a, I'm not even going to say letdown, but a bit of a, you know, hurry up and wait that Thursday night as we're watching all the other teams pick. Certainly that's not going to be enjoyable, but I'm still excited for Friday and Saturday and watching all these new Packers come into the fold. And we'll be here live on Friday night. Do not get it twisted. And Thursday night, though, I'll be on my own on Thursday. But Friday night, we'll be watching all the machinations and developments. Hope you'll join us right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Mike Witt, what's going on? Dare I say, is Nags growing an off-season mullet? No, you're the second person to ask this. No, it's not a mullet, because if it was a true mullet, it would be business in the front and party in the back. This is just complete apathy, and I am just not cutting my hair for a while. So, no, it's no mullet, but it is growing. It's getting longer. I got to cut it because Motel Man has a gig in a couple weeks, actually a week from Saturday, and I want it to look halfway decent for that, although my girlfriend is decrying that idea. She likes it long. Don, this is a fair question. I've talked quite a bit about this, but I'll kind of recap here. What's your opinion on Stenovich? How good or bad is he? I don't think he's anywhere near as bad as the internet would have you believe. I will say it is always fascinating to me, and longtime viewers know what I'm going to say here, where whenever the Packers offense is humming and doing well and putting up 30 plus points a game and Jordan Love's throwing a bunch of touchdowns and they're scoring at will, right? It's always about Matt LaFleur and or the quarterback, and no one ever mentions Steno. But then when the offense has issues or, you know, isn't able to kind of get out of its own ways, having trouble in the red zone, having trouble in short yardage, not scoring 30 points a game, then all of a sudden it's why is Steno employed? He needs to be fired. There's like no middle ground, right? I think he's a lot better than public perception. I think he's a really good coach. And I've talked to guys he has coached on the Packers who love him as a coach and think he is a really good coach and deserves to be a head coach someday. But with that said, I do think last year is a bit of a wake-up call for Steno and probably for LaFleur. Because if you have repeated issues in different areas on offense that seemingly never get corrected, whether it is the inconsistent play up front by the offensive line, whether it was the predictableness your offense found itself kind of leaning into again and again and again to the point where opponents knew what you were going to run, to the issues in the red zone, which were a problem almost all season long, that is your job as an offensive coordinator, to be additive in those situations, to give your head coach solutions to things that are causing problems. So I do think, you know, LaFleur's words at the owners' meetings on Monday are noteworthy in that the idea on offense is to go to back to day one and completely restructure and recalibrate the offense. I'm interested to see what that looks like and interested to see, you know, Steno's contributions in that regard. It sure feels like, given LaFleur's words on Monday, that he has full confidence in Steno. But last year, it's notable. They had repeated issues that never really got solved. Now, that's on Matt, first and foremost. It's his offense. The buck stops there. But Steno has to help find solutions to that. And last year, that didn't seem to really occur. So that's my take on Steno. Neil Flynn, thanks again, man. Do you think the players will push for an end to international games when the new CBA comes up? Absolutely not. I mean, they're not fans of going over there, wherever there is, and playing these games, but they're making a boatload of money doing it. And the more international games they play, that you already saw, I don't know, maybe you didn't, the report yesterday from the owners' meetings, they are eschewing these doubleheaders on Monday night, which, thank fucking God, because I hated them being overlapping. I didn't mind, you know, a 7 Eastern and a 10 Eastern kickoff, like two games on Monday night, but not overlapping. But these last couple of years, they've been overlapping. It's ridiculous, right? I want a Monday night game, standalone, done. But with some of that inventory now, that game inventory, they want to put together international packages. And this is where I always tell you guys, this is the whole reason for this. The whole international push is so they can package these games into another media package, not just in America, but overseas rights, which is going to open a whole nother humongous revenue stream, revenue streams, plural, which will increase the revenue pie, upon which that's where the players' money comes from. So, you know, as much as it sucks having to fly to Australia or Munich or wherever, that's helping increase the share, the revenue kind of pile of money that the players are being paid from. I don't see the union ever pushing for fewer international games or no international games when that's helping pay the bills, helping pay their salaries. You know, never say never, but I'd be very, very surprised. Rob V, long-haired musicians are in style again. Well, maybe, but certainly not like unkept, just lazy musicians. That's for sure. That's where I'm going. But that's just me. All right, everybody. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day. Oh, Soder getting one in right at the last second. Running the play clock down and down and distance predictability were almost as frustrating as special teams. Almost. Yeah, the running the play clock down thing is certainly turning out to be a LaFleur thing more than it was an Aaron Rodgers thing, though Aaron certainly didn't help in that regard. But certainly, you've seen it now with Jordan Love, saw it repeatedly last year. And Soder, you and I have talked quite a bit about this. The tempo, the lack of variance in tempo on offense is something that has got to change. Teams are way too ready and able to take advantage of knowing the fact that you have a way of operating on offense. They know, oh, the quarterback's going to come up. He's going to make checks. He's going to make a call, blah, blah, blah. That gets you in a rhythm as a defense. And you know that clock is coming down. You get to 5-4-3. You can get your you know, foot in the ground and get upfield right at the snap of the ball because you know they got to snap it. So, yeah, that is something that absolutely needs to change. All right, folks, got to get going. Thank you so much. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and don't forget to set up your Patreon account so you can get the Cheesehead TV 2026 Pro Football Draft Guide. Drops tomorrow there on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. Get it. Learn it, love it, know all about the draft, be the smartest person in the room at your draft party with the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.